Welcome back to another episode of the Hooligans Pitch. As always, it's your boys, Michael and Chad. Episode 65. We're in our middle of the golden years here.
That's it. I can almost retire.
Let's go five more. At least five more, okay, and then we'll see how we feel. Hello, Chad. It has been a week. Yo. Not much has happened, believe it or not, in this week, and that's okay. But I did bring my beer, and I do want to get it cracked open because I've been holding on to this one for a little bit. Fun art on this one again. Astral Parliament. It is a hazy IPA with Nelson, Savin, and Waititi hops.
Woohoo!
Ah, look at that thing.
Oh, dang, that is cool. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Cool art. Cool art.
Nice.
But we'll see how it tastes. Out of Pipeworks Brewing. I'm not sure where it's from yet.
Pipeworks.
Oh, Chicago. Chicago.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Chi-town.
Nice. Well, I've been dealing with seasonal allergies. I've been like hit me like a truck.
Oh.
So no beer tonight, but I do have a nice tasty Dr. Pepper in here. So
go. Nice. Nice. I gotta say, the clip of you taking your espresso cocktail drink kind of went viral over here in Colombia.
Good.
Good. They were remind me of who made that cocktail. Was it Cutwater?
Cutwater, yeah.
Cutwater. Yeah. And it was like, oh, Cutwater? They were talking about, oh, yeah, watch Michael's friend Chad drink it. And they're like, whoa. I loved it.
Yeah. You know, to be fair, Kara warned me about it beforehand. I didn't think it would be too bad. And as I drank it, it wasn't that bad. But just that initial sip was quite the surprise and shock.
Yeah, I bet. I haven't had it before, but you can just tell. You can just tell it's going to be one of those. all right, let's get into it here. I think let's just knock the Liverpool Man U game out of the way really quick, just because that was probably the top game of the weekend, despite it not even being in the EPL. It was kind of the focal point on what could Liverpool get the quadruple, and this was kind of the next challenge at hand. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen. And to be honest, this loss is not the end of the world for me. It would have been really nice to win it. I'm seeing Man U fans coming up saying like, wow, I can't believe our squad beat this Liverpool squad. And I kind of like take that with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, like we're still bringing back our people. You do not have our full 11 in there. Should we have won that game? Yeah, I think so. I think we missed out on some huge, huge chances, especially the 5v2.
Yeah.
In the second half, I was actively saying as we were all running down the field, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. I haven't been saying that a lot with this team lately, but in that buildup, no one looked like they wanted the ball.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to shoot. And that just killed us. And that happened a couple times. So that was kind of our, I don't know, the one we let slip. If we let that game slip and no other games the rest of the season, love it. All for it. Mm-hmm. But this can't replicate these next couple games we have coming up. We need to get back in the zone. Because, that was an ugly way to end that game. The defense was pretty poor.
Yeah. We were messaging in the Discord the whole game and pretty much the same thing of, so many chances for Liverpool to get down there and having a great shot opportunity, but always looking for that extra pass for some reason. I guess if that pass connected, that guy was wide open, but sometimes you just got to shoot the ball and either it goes in or it doesn't, or maybe gets deflected and that other guy's still running it up there. But I think that 5v2 really highlighted the lack of potency that Liverpool had on the day, which was a little bit surprising considering, especially just in the Europa games, they've been stomping on Sparta Prague and it kind of reminded me of like Darwin's first season where like every time he would run up and just like either blast it or the times he would look for a pass, it just wouldn't come off. But it was like the whole front line got in that mindset. So I think a bummer one to lose, FA Cup is still a good trophy to have. But if you're going to lose a game, I think you're probably right. One of these cup competitions is the one to lose rather than 100%. Anything in the Premier League.
We already got a trophy. We got one. And, you know, if it was one or the other, I'm cool with that. I'm actually glad we won one earlier. That way we kind of focus on other things here.
Sure.
I thought when Sala came out, I was like, that's felt like the KDB move that City did a couple weeks ago, where I was like, okay, are we really good and content with this like lead we have right now? And then Gakpo, man, he was just kind of sluggish on the ball, indecisive, and I think that was kind of solely his fault on why we lost. There are plenty of things wrong. I think him and Harvey, despite Harvey's spark plug energy and him, you know, being a beast for our team when we need it, it was like the pressure got to him today out of all games. It was like, why this one? I don't know.
I think it was just, I don't know if I'd call it game management or just like players' will to want to win or something, but you know, to me, it felt like when Salah got pulled off and I think Robertson came off with him.
Yep.
I know they're both kind of coming back from injury, so it's probably related to that. But to me, sure, it kind of signaled that like Klopp was like kind of okay with, you know, taking this to through the extra time into penalties, or, you know, if you could get another goal, then cool, win it. But that last play kind of reminded me of the Arsenal Champions League game against Porto, where it's Arsenal had a corner pretty late, and you know, of course, you get the winner there. You get the win. You don't got to go through penalties, but they played that one super safe and didn't put a lot of guys forward for that corner, and you know, went to penalties and won. But you know, it's I think that, I don't know if that's something that Klopp would have wanted them to do, of like, okay, it's like, yeah, final couple minutes of the game at this point, unless, you know, we have this clear break or something, like, let's just make sure we get to penalties. Or if, you know, he just told them, like, let's go out there and, like, really just try and win this thing. If we don't, like, you know, not so what, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. But, yeah, you know, it's a loss, but like entertaining for me.
Yeah, entertaining as a neutral. They definitely were on their heels at the end of regulation. The ball was in the box for Man U so much. I mean, Man U had so many chances too. They really could have put this thing away.
Rashford alone.
Man. I mean, he got his eventually, but he maybe should have had a couple. And then I did think the tackles were kind of rash, especially from Fernandez. I mean, there was a chance where I was like, he could get a red card here, and then we see Diallo get the red card for his shirt. Chad, I was just like hoping deep down we would score a goal when he got sent off.
That would have been
so like Man U.
The most like, yeah, like a peak. If you, it would have been one of those games where you can say like, someone is like, I hate soccer, it's boring. Like, this is the game you would show them, and it's like, nope, it's exciting, it's dramatic, and you know, you never know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, it didn't work that way, but you know, crazy. It's still just like, still a dumb move from him. I get it's, you know, a late last minute winner.
So you see Bruno's calling for a rule change.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he says, well, given context, I think these rules should be changed. And I was like,
nah.
But yeah, be smarter than the, like, just don't break the rules. And then you're not in this situation. Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, granted, I've never been in a situation like that, but no point in my life have I felt like so excited that I gotta take my shirt off. So
yeah, but also if you're a smart athlete, you know the repercussions if you do that.
Well, that too, yeah.
I mean, these guys are professionals. They have every specialist ever in there, from physical to mental.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Like, I get the excitement of it. Yeah, the shirt off thing, it's cool. But it wasn't even like a wave, you know? It was like, this is my name type thing, which you could just turn around and point, man. Like, that's cool too. And we all see it. I feel like there's only a couple guys in the history of the game who can take their kit off and be like that. Yeah. And it's like Messi, Ronaldo, and Ronaldo.
I'd throw Zlatan in there too.
Zlatan, I think, for a pure ego standpoint, yes. But like, yeah, a handful, right? Handful of guys. or if you win a trophy, or like this, you didn't even you're not even there yet. You still got like these are semis. You didn't win anything. You could be done next time around. So I don't know. I feel for the kid. He's only 20. But Bruno calling for rule changes, I don't know about that one.
I mean, that's just Bruno, though. He's we know he likes to complain, so he's still finding something to complain about even after the fact that they got the win. And
he's sticking up for his teammate.
Yeah, like, I get it, but, like, come on. It's such an easy rule to not break.
Exactly. One of the easiest.
It's not worth it.
One of the easiest. So yeah,
yeah. United go on now against Coventry. I don't think it's going to be so straightforward. Coventry at home, they've been cooking in this FA Cup run. I don't know where they're sitting in championship, but look, we got Haji Wright, USA striker that came out of nowhere last World Cup. Mm-hmm. Did okay. But, you know, he's banging in some goals now, so.
They're sitting eighth in championship, so nothing special.
Okay, yeah.
But it'd be sweet if they stuck it to Man U. It'd be worth this loss if Man U went on to lose to them.
True.
I would do it all over again.
Yeah. And then on the other end, another City-Chelsea matchup.
Yep.
Is it a... I don't know. Cole Palmer might be a little bit more motivated in this one because it's cup competition.
Right? I know. To go to the finals.
Yeah.
That could be something.
If Chelsea comes out of this season with a trophy, that's... I don't want to even call it incredible, but it's like... it feels so wrong.
It does feel wrong. Is it worth the 11th place in the table to win? Would you take that trade, 11th place in the table for a trophy? Maybe not FA Cup. Me personally, but
I don't think so. But, you know, considering where Chelsea's been and how they've been these last few years, I think you're jumping for that trophy, like, for regardless of your table position at the end of this. But
Pochettino's job depends on this trophy now.
Yeah, I'd say so. Because I mean, this, you know, season is done and over for him.
That's all they have to play for.
Yeah, I like, I don't know. I just don't know if Chelsea's ownership is really committed to that long-term plan that they want to have. So I think the FA Cup trophy is probably the one thing that they could point to for, like, Pochettino's, like, you got to get this to stay, or put in a good effort at least. I don't know. But
so what's Pep do? Does Pep throw his A squad at that to be like, I'm going to get you fired? Or is he going to be
I think it really depends on where that falls in their schedule. Because April 20th, what's around there for them? So they got Madrid on the 17th. Oh, 3 days prior. Chelsea in the FA Cup. Forest next after that. So,
well, but on my schedule, it has Tottenham. On the same day as the FA Cup match, so I'm wondering when they'll play Tottenham then.
Yeah, so that'll probably get moved. I would think maybe
right after. Probably in a weekday if they play the 20th is a Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that midweek, because then, you know, that following weekend would be Forest. So. Tottenham, yeah, I don't know. If Tottenham goes right behind that, that's, I think, a little bit trickier for Pep, because, you're deep enough in the FA Cup. I think you're probably going to play majority A squad.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Tottenham has been the bogey team for City for years now, so you got to really have your A squad for that. Oof. Well, I don't know.
This could be a good segue, because you know who isn't the bogey team? Fulham. Can you believe it, Chad?
What a great game to... I don't even know. Just like...
Unbelievable.
I didn't even really look at this game ahead of time and think too much about it, because, you know, Fulham's been kind of bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's, I think I first saw it and they were up like 2-0, I think. And I was like, cool, but like we've seen Tottenham spring this late, come back and all that. So I wasn't like thinking too much about it. And then sure enough, somehow Fulham not only got another goal, but held on to keep the clean sheet. And, you know, Tottenham had some big misses in there and just a very off day for Spurs, I guess.
and Muniz had a great day. You know, we've talked about that team just needing the proper striker to to eat those balls that our boy Anthony's throwing in there. So fun stat, Anthony Robinson has 6 assists on the season. Most assists an American has given in the EPL since Clint Dempsey played. Okay. So American boy rising up. Tyler Adams coming back for Bournemouth. So, you know, if we can get Leeds back in there, maybe we can filter some more Americans through there. they're top of the league right now, too. So they're doing well. But definitely a surprise to see Tottenham lose. And, you know, we just talked about them making a push for top four last week. We said, you know what, with Villa's form, I think they can do it. Now, I just don't know.
Yeah, I think this is one of those losses where it's like, yeah, you lost 3 points, but I think you almost kind of lost like more than that, right? Because Villa's been struggling. They got the draw this week, but like you get the 3 points here, you're now above. No, I think you'd still be behind on goal differential technically.
They'd have to win by 2.
Yeah, but I mean you're right there now. Like where I mean you're still pretty close, but like now it's throws a little wrench in your comeback plans a little bit, I think.
So. And they have City, they have Arsenal, they have Liverpool all in a row.
Yeah. And now they got a rough schedule, so.
Now they could honestly with Tottenham, they could win all 3 of those games. They could lose all 3 of those games. It's really hard to say with that team. With the momentum that they have right now, I don't know. They slaughtered Villa last week. Fulham slaughters them this week. They lost to Wolves a month ago. Very inconsistent right now on kind of what you're going to get from them. And they essentially had their team this weekend.
Yeah, that was probably the most surprising part because, you know, I thought maybe they were missing some big names. And I get, like, you are missing Van de Ven back there. So, okay, a little fill in that spot. Big spot to fill in, sure. But, you know, the rest of that team is pretty much your starters, I'd say.
Yes.
And, you know, especially with some of the chances they ended up having. Like,
do you see that Werner miss?
I mean, that's the Timo we know and love from his Chelsea days.
I was say, what kit? What color is he wearing?
Yeah.
That was bad.
I mean, even Son had a pretty close chance like that he messed up. So yep. I think just an off day for them. And, you know, unfortunate for their run. Certainly not out of it, but, you know, makes it a little bit more difficult to get past Villa now.
I think with Charleston, as weird as it is to say, him coming back and playing a full 90 for them will make such a difference. Because before he went out, he scored 5 goals in 5 games. In the bigger picture, he scored 9 in 7 games. So
yeah. I think just as good as Son kind of can be in that striker role, I think he just operates so much better on that left wing and can kind of... He'll still make his, you know, line-breaking runs and counters and stuff, but it also allows him to kind of play that late run, too. So, yeah, I think he's maybe the missing piece to the team right now, and him coming back, I think, will probably kind of get them back on track, but I don't know. You're running out of games to you know, get back up to speed, so it almost has to be like an instant back to full fitness and full form.
But not against us.
Yeah, please.
Take a pause during that week. But take down City. That would be great.
For sure, yeah.
We saw Luton have two games this week, and we said get the job done. Get done. Yeah. And they went up 3-0 against Bournemouth on Wednesday. And I was like, damn, they're going to do it. And then they had a meltdown. Probably one of the biggest meltdowns we've seen this year.
I think it's, you know, exactly as you've said before, is like they're just not good. They're not used to being in that position.
They don't like the control.
They get up the 2-3 goals and then they're like, all right, we're chilling.
Now what?
What do we do? I think that's it, because like we've seen them fight back so well and you know, a handful of times this season, and then it seems like each time they get a really good, strong start and get the goals, it just blows up in their face.
4 days later, they made a comeback at the 90th minute to get a point. See? So I think you're 100% right. They're just not. That's been. I mean, we could look at their schedule too. How many games this season have they been leading by more than a goal? It'd be hard to tell. Brighton, they took down Brighton 4-0.
That was the weird one. Yeah.
That's the one that stands out. But everything else, pretty standard one goal. If they're going to win or draw, it's pretty much a one goal difference. So I don't know. I don't think that's in their back pocket yet on what they do when they're up. It's a shame because they did great in that first 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
They put it on them.
That was like the game that would have made the Forest game even a bigger of a clash than it already kind of still became. But, you know, I was bummed to see them not get the points there. And then, you know, Forest, okay, you go in, you draw against Forest. The point's great because Forest was sitting, you know, pretty much right above you. And then you get a little bit of saving grace from point deduction. Forest with 4 points deducted.
That's brutal.
It's brutal. It's late, and it's brutal.
It's kind of messed up, right? To do it with 9 games left and, like,
that's
season's on the line. Like, why couldn't they do this either at the start of the season? Like, I feel like mid-season point deductions shouldn't be a thing.
I would agree.
Or by match 20, it needs to happen.
Yeah, I think at the very least, you need like a, maybe by Christmas period, you know, because then you have that January transfer window to do something if you need to do something.
Fuck up again.
Yeah. But to do it so late and it is rough. You know, I think Forrest got a little bit lucky with it only being 4 points and not being like a Everton like 10 point, because then you're basically guaranteed relegation this late in the game.
So what would happen? What would happen if this team, if say we play 6 more games and we have 3 games left, and then they tack on this 4 point deduction? Like, can they do that? It doesn't say they can't do that, right? It
doesn't say they can't. So I mean, I guess if whatever, you know, trial deliberation would take that long, you could be,
crazy.
Final few weeks, all right, like we're barely out of relegation, you gotta really fight, and then all of a sudden you're in relegation and, you know, no time to recover.
That's wild.
So I don't know, that Luton Forest 17-18 spot's gonna be a crazy crazy run in. You know, Everton's kind of floating right there too. I don't know. I want to see Luton come out, stay up, but I don't know. Forest might now have that like us against the world mentality. See if it changes things for him.
Willy Bully came back.
Willy Bully, he can do it. He can be the guy you place in the team to stabilize.
Save us. Save us. So Luton, unfortunately, 2 games, it could have gotten some extra points, but bummed for them, but we go again. Burnley, another team at the bottom, they got a win, a rare one for them.
Yeah.
Brentford, man, they are just a sinking ship, and to get a red card within the first 10 minutes.
It's a rough start.
That's really, they're on a bad stretch right now.
Yeah. I know, like, I get going down to 10 men that early sucks, but I think this Brentford team should have the quality to at least come out with a draw here.
Yes.
I mean, you still got Tony up there. You know, I get that, like, your game plan has been significantly altered, but you got to find a way. You can't let Burnley get the win over you.
Brentford join Fulham as the only teams Burnley has beat that's not in relegation zone.
Yeesh.
So, they beat Luton, they beat Sheffield.
Hmm.
And I'd argue the Fulham game that they had was probably a severely injured Fulham team without their main pieces. I don't know for sure, but that's just what I'd imagine, considering Fulham did what they did this weekend. Yeah, Burnley's not a team that should be, you know, beating a mid... I know, Brentford's not mid-table right now, but at the start of the season, I guess last season, where'd they finish? Eighth?
I think about somewhere around there, I think.
Somewhere around eighth. I guess I can pull that up here. Brentford was ninth. So
Oh, yeah.
They finished last season great, winning 5 of 6. Without some, you know, they had pretty much their core roster still on the team. Injuries, of course, you know, it was pretty detrimental to start the season. But, you know, not having Tony too and Mbeumo, that makes a huge difference. But they played this game, those two guys. Their back line, though, right now is non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just starting to wonder, like, because, you know, at the start of the season, I felt like Thomas Frank's job was safe regardless of, like, what kind of happened because he got the Tony absence and some big injuries early on. But I think your performances aren't really looking to be there anymore. You know, you're still missing some key players, like you said, in the back line now, but, you know, you haven't really gotten Tony too much involved, I guess, doing enough. It should be helped with Mbeumo coming back, but I don't know. I think if I was him, I think I'd be a little bit worried about my job a little bit. Like,
you got to stay up.
You got to stay up for sure.
Which they should. They should.
They should. But I mean,
it's not a lot of room.
Yeah, you're right there. You're kind of the line almost, right? Like Palace at 29 points is probably okay now.
Yeah.
But then 26, 25, 22, and 21 is in relegation. So
you have to finish strong.
Yeah, you need to...
Just a little stronger.
Yeah, I think you got to get some standard, good, normal performances in there. And just bust out a win or two. Like, I don't think you got to win all your rest, but...
They have a pretty favorable schedule coming up. They got Sheffield, Luton, Everton, and Bournemouth within their last couple games. Now, granted, those teams are very hit or miss, right? Yeah. But I think those are all games you have a chance to win.
You have a chance to win, and, you know, Luton and Everton, especially, you kind of have to win because they're, yes, like, your direct neighbors.
Yes, if they lose those two games, they will get passed in the table.
Yeah, that's going to
be... And then they'll be sitting probably 17th.
Oof. And well, then, Tony will be cheaper for whoever buys him.
It's true. I like Thomas Frank. You know, yeah, if he's on the table and Liverpool want to take a stab at him, I don't think I'm too against. I'd rather have him than the other targets we're looking at, like De Zerbi or, you know, whoever else. I think Xavi's the one. It's like, obviously, that's the one we all kind of want.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Thomas Frank has a mature persona to him, and I think Liverpool needs that. Probably not the, obviously not the same personality as Klopp. No one's going to match that. We just have to all accept that. But what he's done with Brentford, again, this is a really crappy season, I think. It's really hard to judge him off of this season. But I do understand if Brentford said, we want to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I believe that. But his tenureship there, what is he on? 4 years? 5 years, roughly? It's got to be around there. I prefer coaches who can establish themselves and show that they can be there day one and still be there after 5 years. Unlike so many other teams in this table, which we could go down the list and be like, look at the turnover. Now, this year's been better, right? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of turnover this year, which I think last year was just an odd one. I think everyone was in a weird situation because they knew City and Arsenal were the top, right? Yeah. And everyone else was kind of like battling for everything else. But yeah. It's going to be a spicy ending for both sides of the table.
Honestly, yeah. It's that middle of the table where you're just sitting there like, all right, you know, a few games left to play. Let's go.
Right? And even for that fifth spot, it's pretty much going to be, if West Ham can figure it out, it's going to be Tottenham, United, and West Ham. I don't think Brighton's going to be able to do it.
I'd say Brighton is their season's just kind of petered out.
No Matoma. We're not going to. That's the difference maker.
Yeah, I think West Ham can and is figuring it out.
They're so close.
I mean, they technically scored four goals against Villa, but had some overturns there.
That's, you know what, Chad, now you say that, I think I saw like a fake headline saying like West Ham wins 4-1, I remember seeing something where I'm like, oh, they scored a lot, and then when I saw the final 1-1, I was like, what was I reading? And that must have been what it was, because they had so many chances. They had pretty much their squad. They changed up a little bit of their formation. Paqueta in the middle on this one. Kudus out on the left with Antonio back, which you got to talk about what Antonio said. I don't know if you read his latest.
I think so. His Arsenal fan thing.
Yeah, kind of came out of nowhere a little. I don't know why. Like that was brought up, but
yeah.
The West Ham starting 11 that went out, I think, is their strongest, give or take what you're doing with Ward-Prowse, right?
Yeah, my only swap would probably be Mavropanos come out and probably Aguerd in, but I don't know, he's on the bench. So, I just don't really trust Mavropanos. He's very nervous when I've seen him play.
That's true.
But I think other than that, this is probably your best lineup. As much as I like to see Ward-Prowse in there, they do seem much more stable with Alvarez and Suchek in that back midfield.
They're like the same player, except Suchek is a much better attacker and Alvarez is a much better defender. So it's like a crazy balance that works out for that team.
Yeah.
I wish you could find a spot for Ward-Prowse in here. Like, you just can't. Like, who do you take out?
Yeah. I mean, I think
Antonio?
Yeah, but then see, you're playing Bowen at striker, which, like, to be fair, has worked probably more than I thought it would.
Yeah.
But
you would argue that Bowen's the strongest on the right.
Yeah.
That's where he was scoring. That's why he led our fantasy league for months, is because this was the formation they were rocking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is probably your best starting lineup, except for the Mavropanos thing, in these like kind of tough head-to-head games. Mm. I think in the games where you should have more control and more possession, I think you can probably drop one of Alvarez and Suchek and throw Ward-Prowse in there. I don't know. I mean, Ward-Prowse ended up coming in and you know, has a key role to play in that would-be winning goal.
Yep.
But I think West Ham can figure it out. I think Moyes, you know, he has pretty much all his guys that he needs back. I think they can probably make a good push here. Like, you know, they kind of got over that weird phase where they just weren't winning. I guess the Paquetá missing piece was it, but it's crazy how that sounds that it was just him. But yeah, I mean, he's a good player. It makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. Let me see. Just pulling up their schedule here real quick. So yeah, they got Newcastle next. Then they take Tottenham at home. Then Wolves. It's that Europa League that I think might throw a wrench in things. Depends how hard they're going to go for it. They're coming up against Leverkusen. They're a tough team this year. They haven't lost yet. you know, I think West Ham will probably go for it. They, you know, won the Conference League last year, so to do a not only a back-to-back European trophy, but, you know, the next competition up, your European trophy, would be a really big win for them.
Every Liverpool fan wants a Liverpool Bayern Leverkusen final, and this is probably the game that gets in the way. So Liverpool will not be happy. West Ham steals this for us.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, just a quick sidebar: if it's Bayern Leverkusen and Liverpool in the final of that game, winner gets Alonso. That's all I'm saying.
He said, you know, forget the trophy. Jobby, get up there. And,
yep. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, the Leverkusen-Liverpool final would be probably the most even matched and entertaining.
The headlines.
And then, I mean, yeah, just the script writers would love it.
It's field day.
It's a match made in heaven, honestly. Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't really watched any of Leverkusen, so I don't really know what they're looking like, but they're obviously doing pretty well. Mm. It'll be interesting to see if West Ham can kind of upset that. But I don't know. I think if you're West Ham, I mean, you're probably focused on both equally. Like, you want to go far in Europa. You also want to push into Europa League spots in the league. So you kind of have to, you got to have your guys, and they all got to be ready to play, because I don't think you're going to get much rest for your big names in here. I mean, you got Palace that you could probably rest a few, and you know, Luton, but those are both after the Leverkusen games and pretty late in your season, so it'll be a rough rough 2 weeks, 3 weeks for them, but that's it. It's coming down to the wire. You got to do it.
West Ham hasn't held a clean sheet in the last 11 games.
It's a problem.
Can you recall the last clean sheet they held?
11 games. Are you you're not talking only league or?
It's No, I think it's all games.
Okay.
Yeah, all comps.
I don't know if it was 11 games ago, but I'm just thinking of that, the Arsenal game.
Damn right. That's the last.
Yeah, so it's not a good look. you know, especially the games since then, there's certainly been a few where you should keep a clean sheet. Let's see. You know, just looking at Premier League, yeah, the 2-2 draw with Sheffield, 1-1 draw with Bournemouth, and then it gets pretty bad because you go into the Arsenal 6-0.
Losing to Forest.
Losing to Forest. Bounce back for Brentford, but, you know, still let in 2 goals. Everton, you let in a goal. It's Burnley, you let in 2. You know,
Burnley.
Yeah, they see. I think it's, I don't really know what changed in their defense. I don't know if Aguerd had been out all that time, but I think he's probably the better defender than Mavropanos.
Mm-hmm. Ogbonna too. He came in a couple of times this season and played great. Mm-hmm. So I know he's old. He's pretty old now.
I mean, look, we've been seeing Thiago Silva at the first half of the season run that Chelsea back line.
So. I know. He hasn't been playing a whole lot lately, but I think did he play in the FA Cup?
Injury?
Yeah, I think he's back though. I think he played in the cup game this weekend. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't really follow much what Chelsea did that game, but did you see Sterling's free kick?
Oh my god!
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like an edit or something at first, and I was like, "Oh no, that happened."
It, to be fair, it looked like one of those edits where it's like the ball goes out and then it follows it like into space or whatever. Like, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought was gonna happen, and then no, it wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Sterling is. He's in his a weird funk these days, and I think he's getting the playtime because he is a more veteran player of the squad.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
It has to be the only reason. I swore I saw Thiago come in. If really? Not this weekend, the previous one? When did I see him come in? I gotta be tripping then.
He's not on the injury report, so
yeah, it must
he
have,
is available.
It must have been a while ago then. Leeds? Is that when I saw him come in?
Maybe.
No. I don't know. I feel like they're trying to push him out though. I mean, you saw his wife tweeting about Chelsea and stuff, so that was kind of
unwarranted. His last appearance was February 13th in the league, Premier League.
I think it's
yeah, that looks like it.
Was the Liverpool game?
I don't know.
Tripping. It's been a while. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Been a while.
For sure.
And then on the flip side from West Ham, Aston Villa, very lucky to walk away with the draw.
Oof, they're in a funk of their own, I think.
And they got City next.
Yeah.
Two games, City.
These were, these last two games were ones that you kind of needed to win to get that separation between you and Tottenham, right? And, you know, you messed up the Tottenham one, you know, so that already hurt. And then, okay, away at West Ham, not going to be the most easy, straightforward game, but like on how you've played the season, I think you're probably playing better than West Ham has. And then just didn't really turn up again. So I don't know if they're back in that weird lack of form, but yeah, I don't know.
They live or die by Ollie Watkins. If Ollie Watkins shows up, they win.
That's a good.
They don't.
Good point.
They don't. And right now,
it's not.
Since I don't got Watkins on my team, I'm kind of on the you don't. Do I still think they can make top four? Yes, I think they had such a hot start that they can finish there. But yeah, things are just not clicking the way. They beat City and everything else was downhill.
Yeah. Well, they got the City and Arsenal wins.
Yeah, back to back.
That was their big moment, and then it kind of
never was the same.
It just kind of fell apart from there.
They had a moment, right? They had their moments.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, look, they're in the quarterfinal of Conference League, so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that plays into things too. You know, they got City before that starts and then Arsenal right between those quarterfinal games. So it'll be another interesting struggle of where you kind of commit your forces. I think they're kind of in the same like West Ham boat where you kind of have to do both, right? Because you're in a great spot on the table. You want to keep it. You're in deep in the Conference League. Like, if you bring home a European trophy after I don't know how long it's been for Aston Villa, a long time. It's a big deal. So
30 years?
You're saying 30?
Maybe.
I'm feeling like
I want to say
60.
I looked it up. You want to know?
Yeah.
It was 1996. They won the League Cup against Leeds. So
League Cup, though. I'm talking European trophy.
Oh, you want European? Well, shoosh.
Yeah.
Greedy.
Well, look, that's what we're talking about here, baby. The European trophy.
82-83. We'll meet in the middle. We'll meet in the middle.
Yeah.
they beat Bayern.
Well, different time.
Very different time. The wall was still up.
Yeah.
Wasn't the same Bayern.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez. Well, Chad, we made it through our five games that we had to talk about.
Whew.
That was a doozy. I think we have probably a very small list of goals, teams, and players. But, hey, it exists. It is real. And I got them. We're probably in agreement with most of them, I had to imagine. But I'm just going to go with mine first. Team of the week, pretty simple for me. Fulham, I think, taking down Tottenham 3-0. Only clean sheet this weekend, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, only clean sheet in the last week. So they got the job done there. Do you have any nominations besides Fulham that you'd like to give?
I mean, my only other shout would be Burnley. Sure. But I think with how good Tottenham has been playing, it's more of the upset than, you know, the Brentford team that has been struggling.
Unfortunately. For my player, I got to give it to the striker at Fulham too, Muniz. Getting the brace. I really liked his first goal. Second goal, he came up a little hurt. I don't know if that was more serious than what it actually was. I'm going to check the injury report now just in case. But I think he'll be okay.
Hopefully, because he's looked better up there than I think Jimenez has all season. I know Jimenez was hurt a little bit, but seems to be back now.
Mm.
But yeah.
Oh, fun fact. Fulham is the only team on PremierInjuries.com that does not have an injured player associated with them.
Wow.
I was trying to open their team, and nothing was happening. And there's a zero next to it.
Sheesh.
So,
all right.
Who do you think Who do you think leads the league in injuries right now?
Injuries,
kind of a surprise.
Kind of either Newcastle or shoot, who else? Newcastle or I guess Brentford maybe?
Oh, good guesses. Brentford has 8 and Newcastle has 8. The leader, believe it or not, is Luton Town with 12. 12. Oh, 12 players out, followed closely by Liverpool.
Dang, I didn't realize Luton was missing that many players.
Yeah, it's quite the list. A lot of guys I'll be honest with you, never heard of. But, like, you know, Alfie Doughty, Adebayo, Lockyer, there's obviously key names in there. Osho, but most of the other ones not too familiar with. But, yeah, Castle, United, Brentford, a lot of eights in here, which is a good, you know, a good chunk of the team. Not Fulham, though.
Good for them. I mean, that's
even
if it's just, you know, a few weeks here, to have a fully healthy squad at this point, I think is
for sure
good, and can maybe mount a little bit of a momentum and push up the table a little bit. So
that's always that's my key to a successful season for any team. It's lack of injuries and just a little bit of luck. And if you look at all the teams there, I'm sure you'll find a little bit of luck sprinkled in, or they get some injury breaks. And actually, I'll be honest with you, if Liverpool wins the league this year, their injury breaks and their luck has been shit, So it'll be a true test of time if we can make it through. But yeah. Statistically, you need those two things to make your season successful. So yeah, anyway, who's your player of the week?
Oh, player. I like Munoz. It's a big one. I'm going to say Semenyo on Bournemouth. Yeah. Primarily for that, I think it's his first goal against Luton that I liked. Nice little, I think it was a little curler from the top, if I remember correctly. I mean, yeah, two big goals in the comeback. You know, I guess 3 and 4 in that. So the winning goals, I guess you could say. Yeah, you know, it's kind of the only one that stood out beyond Munoz. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard to judge off of 5 games.
Yeah. Small sample size here.
Yeah. I think I would stick with Semenyo here.
I'll lean into it.
Unless we really just want to pile on Tottenham, but, you know.
No, Semenyo, I mean, game winner, game equalizer, and then the game winner. It's pretty slick. Mm-hmm. Pretty slick. And it's just funny that Luton, after they drew that game up, Luton was then playing, like, out of their mind again. And unfortunately, still lost, but that's just the way it goes. Now, my favorite goal, I really like the Antonio header. It was outstretched, nice. Like it was like a welcome back goal type of thing. I forgot he could do that. Again, limited sample size again this week. But that was the one that just kind of stood out to me. Everything else was just kind of like good slotted goals.
Yeah.
But nothing too spectacular.
I think I'm with you on that one. I mean, you love to see a you know, lovely cross in and a nice diving header. It always looks so good. Mm-hmm. I think that's, I'm good with that one. Like Semenyo's goal, I think was the only other real competition I had for that.
No, that was it though. There weren't like crazy bangers. It's like, holy, which last week, I feel like we had a ton of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes, right? Like it's 5 games and it's primarily low end of the table. So it's not the greatest of quality, I guess. But I mean, Antonio, I think, you know, he's been injured, but he's also been very quiet this season. So to see him like, kind of get that welcome back, like really nice diving header goal. I'm down with that one.
Yeah, when's the last time he played? It had to have been a long while.
I think he made a brief appearance like somewhat recently.
Oh yeah, I guess he's been popping in and out, but he hasn't played a full 90 in quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is his longest game played since February 17th, but he 66, 45, 10, 14, 76, 11. He's been kind of all over the place. His last 90-minute game was in October.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it's been a minute.
Yeah.
All right, Chad, we got our couple memes here. Nothing too crazy on the memes either.
We already have the winner.
Ugh. So where did you find that Kane reenactment of
it was just one of the recommended reels on Instagram, and like I don't even check the reels. It just popped up on my normal homepage scrolling, I guess. And you know, it makes a lot more sense if you watch the Oscars and Ryan Gosling's performance. But I think it's pretty well done.
He's just Kane. I thought that was Kevin De Bruyne when it started. I really did. And I was like, this is an interesting parody that he's doing. And I was like, oh, that's not him. But yeah, pretty good. The messy goal after the fans chanting Ronaldo. Come on, man. Come on.
I mean,
we all know that was coming.
That's just Messi showing you what he can do. Like putting the money where the mouth is, sort of deal. Just keep chanting his name. I'll keep scoring. You know.
And I know there's always like a factor of like, oh, players don't listen to the fans. 100% guarantee you heard them chanting Ronaldo.
Oh yeah.
And you know, said, yeah, watch this. Inter Miami scoring some crazy goals right now. Suarez had a brace in like 10 minutes yesterday.
And yeah, I saw.
I won't lie. He's not looking the most fit I've ever seen a footballer. No. Yet he's still just toying with teams. And like,
yeah.
It's the brain. The brain is so much bigger than anything else out there.
For sure, yeah.
His positioning was shit, but he realized everyone else is shit. So he just chipped it over, and it happened to go in. It's pretty wild. And then the Barella pasta. Genius.
So I don't think this is real.
I don't think it's real either, because I would have tried to buy it. I tried to look it up.
Yeah, like I looked it up, and I couldn't find anything legit. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, like what a collab this would be to have... Dude. Inter, I mean, Barella is already close enough to Barilla, so might as well do it. And the little soccer ball pastas, that's, come
it's
on.
So good. It's so good. There's a, it reminds me of just a quick side tangent. There's a NFL player in Atlanta. His name is Bijan Robinson, and he now has Bijan Mustard. And it's just like, he leaned into it so hard. Now he has his own mustard brand. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
This is the future for, I think, for football players to like find a food and go into it. Because this is marketable. This is like,
oh sure,
this is genius. And the color scheme looks so good on the box we're looking at. I'm shocked it's not a real thing yet.
You know, this might be the catalyst for it to happen. You know, maybe he just never thought of it that way, and then he might come across this and. You know, light bulb goes off in his head to make it happen. Because, I mean, yeah, how easy would that be to just slap your name on a pasta box and alter it a little bit? But like, that's gonna sell like hotcakes. He'll be just making so much money off of that.
There might be a copyright issue. I just went to click on the actual post and it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, see, maybe they're cooking it up.
Maybe they said, "What are you doing? Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's a good idea for athletes to. I mean, they already want to try and make themselves a brand anyway, right? Like you hear, especially a lot in football, with like, you know, CR7 and like Messi's number 10, and you know, even Ozil has his MO10. Like, you know, it all. They always want to do that little. What like initials number thing, so like they already want to make a brand, so then okay, like fully lean into it. And yeah, if you're Barella and you sound close enough to the pasta brand, like hit them up, be like, yo,
do it,
I'm Italian, you guys are Italian, we both like pasta, let's do it. Like, you know, why not?
That pasta's Mbappe, the pasta's made go. In Iowa and New York, so
oh shit.
Not the most. Well, I guess the Barilla pasta that is sold in the United States is made there. What is Italy's number one brand of pasta? Barilla.
See, there you go.
How is this not a thing? Dunk. How is this not a thing? Who's that guy's agent? Jeez.
Yeah, you know, call us up. We'll hook you up with a sweet pasta deal.
Yeah, we got ideas. They're sitting there. We won't announce them. All right, Chad, for the 1 hour that we were online together, one of the shortest podcasts we've had in the last 2 years, by default, I think we covered everything. Anything, I think so. Anything else you want to shout out?
Not really, no. Sac Republic had their first away game, got a 1-0 win over Miami.
Okay.
Pretty run-of-the-mill game for them, but... they got another away game against someone. And then
that they do
coming back home March 30th. So I'll be at that game, but
right on. I'll just give a shout out to all the people on St. Patrick's Day who told me I'll never walk alone and yelled clop at me a lot. And, you know, gave the hooligans pitch a shout too. So hopefully we'll see those people in the pool later and spread the good word. I'm going to go pitch us tomorrow to a president of the soccer club here and we'll see how that goes. Don't really know what I'm going to say yet, but I'm going to say this is what we got.
Yep.
What else you want? Chad, we got a little international break here. I'm sure if anything breaking comes up, we'll chat about it. But if not, we'll have our own little international break and pick back up in 2 weeks when a clash of the Titans come into play. We'll leave with this. Coming. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay right now.
Okay, maybe we'll check back next week.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling okay right now.
Okay.
Arsenal, you know, had the long Porto game, felt like four games in one, basically.
Yep.
But I think that was okay. They didn't have a match this weekend and go straight into international break, so like you can leave it all out there. And from the reports that I saw, Arteta gave the players the rest of the week off. So I think that'll be good to let them all get a little bit of rest, a little family friend time, and then, you know, the ones that aren't away international get really focused on that City game and figure out what you're doing. So still feeling good, still a little nervous, but, you know, it's coming. It's right around the corner. I'm getting excited, too.
So. I know. We're going to watch very closely over here. So do what's best for the league. I don't, you know, just do what's best for the league.
That's it. Yeah.
All right, Chad. Good chatting.
Of course.
We'll see the good people next time. With that, the hooligans pitch, we are out.